The Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast. Welcome to Local Flavor Live, a podcast about the food and drink scene in Baltimore. I'm your host, Lauren Cohen, and I'm back today with our food and dining editor, Jane Marion. Hey, Jane.
Yo, Elsie. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you so much. It is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
What a happy day for not just your family, but for all of us.
Oh, thanks. It's just so funny. Birthdays, like, come up so fast, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think the month rolls around, and then you're like, oh, yeah, it's my birthday month. And then yesterday, I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, it's tomorrow. But they come by, you know, quickly, and then they go fast as well. So
is
there
like
a day.
Is there a fun birthday story? Because my mom tells me the same story every single year.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's it's funny. My mom likes to tell me about when she was in the delivery room. She, I think, was a little disoriented, as many mothers are. And the doctor, I guess, told her not to push. And she pushed, and he kind of, like, caught me by my leg. But I don't know. Is that something, like, everyone has, like, a funny birth story? They tell me about that all the time.
Yeah. It's so you somehow. You're just excited to, you know, come out into the world and start your life
I guess so. Aww. My mom will be happy that I told that
That's
story.
Sweet.
Yeah, she tells me all the time, but I'm very happy for her. I wish I knew her doctor's name. I would give him a shout out because thank you for catching me. I just kind of showered up.
But, it's a lifesaver right there.
Yes, definitely.
So what are your plans?
I think I'm going to go have drinks with friends tonight. I don't know. I feel like as you get older, like birthday, I've never been like a huge birthday person, but you know, you feel the love on your birthdays for sure.
Yeah, and you got gifts. I saw gifts on your desk.
Oh my gosh, I did. Some of my coworkers got me, well, Caitlin, our associate editor, she got me this little print of the Charmery that she got from Wishbone Reserve, and she said it reminded her of the story that we did.
So perfect.
So cute. And Christine Jackson, our research editor, got me a little book on beer, like a beer primer, because she knows I've been trying, the year of beer, I've been trying to drink more beer.
You keep saying that. Yeah.
So very thoughtful. Everybody's so sweet on your birthday. Everybody's so sweet around here all the time, but you know, you definitely feel the love.
Yeah. Was the year of beer like a resolution for you? Because that's kind of an easy one. You know, I think I'm going to do a resolution like that. Like, I'm going to eat more cake.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but it's funny. So many people who drink beer all the time are like, that's the worst resolution ever. Why would you want to drink more beer? That's terrible for you. But I think I've just been trying to, you know, get more into it. I think especially living in Baltimore, it's never fun when you go to a brewery or you go to a hang in a tap room and you're like, do you guys have a sour that like really doesn't taste like beer at all? You know, just something that, you know, you really like. But so I'm going to go to Nepenthe tonight. So maybe I'll get on that later.
So before the food news, I just have to know, have you learned something from your year of beer so far?
I think I've learned just like how different beer is. And even talking to people who are very serious beer drinkers, like everybody has their own thing and their own style that they really like. So, I mean, I found that I'm really into sours just because it doesn't taste so hoppy and beery to me. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I just like it was never something that I enjoyed the taste of.
Yeah, so, I don't really like it either. Maybe I need a year of beer.
Yeah, maybe we should we'll study the book that Christine gave me.
I'll borrow it.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been a great day.
Well, cheers.
Cheers to you. Yeah, and I have to talk to you about AC Squared. I know you went to see Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen last weekend at the Hippodrome. Yeah. I was hearing from you all about it. I know how much of a fan you are.
Huge.
And then really strangely, the day of, I have a friend who works part time at the box office, and she was like, I have tickets if anybody's available. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'll go. Jane's been talking about
it
all week.
Amazing. Yeah.
So did you love it? I loved it.
I did love it. You know, I feel like I know a lot about him. Mm-hmm. I read his memoir. I'm probably one of the few.
Yeah.
You know, he was with Channel One in his early years, which was like, I think like an educational network of some kind that went into schools. But one of the things he talked about was, you know, his brother committed suicide when Anderson was, I think, a senior at Yale. He just lost his father. He had this real sadness. And he talked about wanting to go to these war zones to just be with people who were in as much psychic pain as he was.
Yeah.
So I think I just love him to death. I love his story. His mom is Gloria Vanderbilt, and he talked about her incessantly.
So much.
They have a really cool relationship. Howard Hughes was one of her first lovers, which I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I'm just struck by, I think I've always had a crush on like a network news person my whole life. When I was thinking about it, I loved Peter Jennings, who's, you know, no longer. I loved a guy named Jim O'Brien, who was a local news guy in Philly, who I think is still around. But those guys were like pretty stiff. Like you couldn't imagine them being on stage, you know, with their foil in the form of Andy Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
Anderson, you know, he had on like his t-shirt and his biceps were showing and he was pretty loose, you know, and I thought, wow, you know, CNN, like I guess it's a little different because he's also like a celebrity and he's in our home every night because it's a 24/7 news cycle. So we do feel like we get to know the person and not just the news, the anchor man or anchor woman.
Yeah.
It's just a different thing. But I thought he was wonderful and funny, and he held his own because Andy Cohen is a lot.
He's a lot. I feel like I was more familiar with Andy just because, you know, like a lot of people, I turn on Housewives when I need something to kind of distract me from the day or whatever. But, you know, I was so excited to see Anderson in that way too. Like you were saying, you know, I think Andy brings it out in him. You know, yeah. They have so much fun together. And I loved hearing him talk about his mom. Did you watch that HBO documentary?
No, but I have to.
I like ran home and I watched it because I was so interested. But it's very, very honest and vulnerable, especially when it comes to the struggle that they went through with his brother and losing his father so young. And Gloria Vanderbilt is so, so fascinating. She's had this incredible life. She's like 95.
Yeah.
And looks amazing.
I love the story that he told about his grandfather, many greats grandfathers was Cornelius Vanderbilt, who built the railroad. And so outside Penn Station in Grand Central Station, there's this towering statue of Cornelius Vanderbilt, and I don't know if he told this story, but he said he was on a first grade trip from the prestigious Dalton School in New York, and the kids were standing in front of a statue of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and the teacher said, "Does anyone know who this is?" And he said, "My grandfather, my great great grandfather."
That's so funny.
Thought everybody when they were growing up had a statue of their relatives outside the train station or, you know, in front of some big public institution. So, but he's great. I have a framed autograph picture of him in my office.
I know this and I love it. I felt like I had to talk to you about it. You're definitely the president of his fan club.
For sure.
And, I had such a great time and I feel like I have so much more respect for him as a reporter.
Welcome to the club.
Yes,
Thank you.
So switching gears to food news. There was a lot of great openings and coming soons that we reported this week. Starting off, there's a place called Earthshake in Locust Point that a lot of people in that neighborhood were really sad to see go. It closed its original location, which opened about 3 years ago. It opened in 2016, and then it closed last year when they moved to Fells Point. And earlier this week, they reopened. So the Fells Point location is still going strong, but they reopened another location in Locust Point. So they're back where they all started. It seems like it's awesome. I've actually never been in, but you know, everything that you would ever want from a juice or smoothie bar. So acai bowls, pitaya bowls.
There you go again.
Pitaya. I hope I'm saying that right. So that's like the dragon fruit bowls that are really, really bright you see on Instagram. And then cold pressed juices. They have one called the Wonder Melon that I'm like dying to try. It's watermelon, pineapple, and ginger.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah. And then also, you know, in keeping with this whole wellness vibe, they have things like protein balls and fire cider. Have you ever heard of fire cider?
No.
So it's basically apple cider vinegar and habanero pepper and ginger in this, like, it's bottled. I think you can get it at health food stores.
Sounds like a cleanse.
Yeah, but you take it as a shot.
Oh.
So apparently it cleans you out. And
so it is like a cleanse.
Yeah. So they have a lot of things that I think, you know, check a lot of boxes in the wellness category. And I know that a lot of people in Locust Point are happy that they've returned. It's right on the corner of Ford Ave and Hull Street. If anybody wants to go check it out, I'm excited to get over there for sure.
Are you going to do a shot?
You know what? It depends on how I'm feeling.
How close is the bathroom?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just, I don't know. I feel like somebody could persuade me, but in terms of like what I want to, absolutely not. That sounds horrible.
I can't eat super hot things. Mm-hmm. Like, my husband puts ghost peppers on everything.
And he finds it enjoyable?
I feel it in my eyes, just sitting across the table from him. So I'm not into hot peppers.
Yeah.
I like spice. I don't like heat that way. I don't think I could do it.
Yeah. I think when spice gets too overpowering that you can't taste anything else in your meal, it's like, what's the point?
Yeah. No, it's definitely an acquired taste.
Yeah. So that opened in Locust Point. And in Harbor East, in our neck of the woods, we saw that Avely Farms Coffee, which there's been a big sign. It's the space that's right across from T-Volve by the new Whole Foods that's it's in construction now. It is opening officially on May 18th. So we'll have another coffee shop in the area. It's from this guy. His name is Corey Vogel. He's a Towson native, and he moved to San Diego briefly, and he really was inspired by everything that baristas and roasters are doing on the West Coast when it comes to education. So I think it's really cool. It's kind of in keeping with this trend of sophomore coffee and vent coffee roasters where, you know, people are really working to establish that connection where, you know, consumers can understand where their coffee is coming from, kind of like an extension of the farm-to-table movement a little bit.
It seems like there's like another, like, trend of these new coffee. There's another wave of coffee shops opening in the city.
Yes.
Like the places you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm, definitely. So he's going to have some of his own blends. He's going to do some collaborative blends. I know he has a good relationship with another local roaster, Keffa Coffee. And there'll also be some great pastries from some local wholesalers as well. So it seems like a really beautiful space and, you know, definitely a welcome addition to the neighborhood. We're always down to check out a new coffee shop.
Totally. Yeah. You know, the West Coast, that is a major cred. Mm-hmm. The first time I ever remember going to, I guess, what we would call a modern day coffee house. We didn't have those words back then.
Yeah.
Maybe like in the 80s, I was in San Francisco, and it just seemed like everyone was hanging out, drinking coffee. Unemployment was low, but nobody seemed to be at work. Everyone was just drinking coffee. You know, there were no laptops or anything. And I thought, why can't we have that here, you know, on the East Coast?
Absolutely.
And slowly but surely, many, you know, probably a decade later, we started to see these places. But the West Coast has always known this.
Yes.
You know, and I just think the more of these coffee places, the better. They just become just great communal spaces for people to hang out, do work.
You can never have enough, I feel.
Go with their kids, you know, mommy and me groups, go to these places now, and there's just lots of great options in the city, certainly for drinking coffee.
Yes. So that's really awesome. And we also saw another opening in the downtown area, so the 414 Light Street building, which opened not too long ago, is starting to roll in its food concepts. So the first to open is a place called Ramen Utsuke. I hope I'm saying that correctly. It's a sister spot from the Fells Point ramen shop, Kipo Ramen. Mm-hmm. So it opened earlier this week, focusing on classic ramen that people have come to know and love at Kipo. So steamy bowls. They have lots of different kinds of broth. And then add-ins like soft-boiled eggs and sprouts and seaweed. So, you know, any kind of broth that you could want, chicken, pork, vegetable, fish. I thought it was funny. I interviewed the owner not too long ago, and he was saying Ramen Utsuke translates to ramen crazy. So he was just saying, I want to get a little crazy with it. A lot of, like, traditional ramen lovers just think that ramen should be strictly, you know, noodle bowls.
Purists.
Yes, exactly. So he is adding things like sushi and pork dumplings and shiso peppers. So just kind of these outside of the box things you might not expect from a ramen restaurant. But the space looks beautiful. It has these really beautiful glowing lanterns hanging from the ceiling and a mix of communal tables and booths. So I think it's going to be great there.
Yeah, I was sharing last week that there's so many Asian fusion places in the area, and also, you know, great Korean food and great Vietnamese and Thai. And I'm working on this Global Eats issue for, we all are, for the October issue of the magazine. And I've just been doing a lot of research to sort of cover my bases and see what's out there. And it's just kind of astounding the number of Asian or Asian-inspired restaurants. And they just keep opening. People are really hungry, pardon the pun, for this. Like, it's just not slowing down.
Yeah.
And I do think, you know, the food does tend to be really healthy, vegetable-centric. People are really interested in these flavors.
Totally.
And getting just really sort of knowledgeable and sophisticated and worldly about them. And they just want more, as evidenced by the fact these places just keep opening.
Yeah, definitely.
But Kipo is awesome. So
it's so good. Yeah. And I think what's interesting about 414 Light Street is that the building is kind of adapting to this like lifestyle focus. There's a really great wellness program for tenants in that building. It looks absolutely amazing. And then, you know, they're kind of catering the restaurant concepts to that. So the ramen place, and then they have these vegan concepts, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, from Chef Matthew Kenny, that are going to be opening next to Ramen Utsuke this summer. They're slated for the summer. So definitely, you know, a very holistic wellness vibe over there. But it sounds great. I'm excited to try. I get a little wary about ramen in the summer. Like, you know, I'm like seasonal like that. Yeah. But, you know, if you're in the mood for it, it's good anytime.
Yeah. We still get cold, rainy days.
Yeah. And there's a new pop-up that I'm really excited to talk about. So this pop-up is called Stone's Throw Hash. And the name refers to their sweet potato hash bowls that are sourced from local farms that are within 200 miles or a stone's throw away.
That's adorable.
Yeah, I think it's cute. So it's a guy named Ben James who founded it, and he found out that he was allergic to wheat, and he started playing around with gluten-free recipes and paleo-friendly recipes, and recently started popping up at breweries and farmers markets. I believe he's at the Fells Point Farmers Market on the weekends. And then there's also a pop-up scheduled at Full Tilt Brewery in Govens. That's going to be Friday, May 24th and Sunday, May 26th, if you guys want to check it out. So this is, you know, basically exactly what it sounds like. There are these like hearty bowls that use diced up sweet potatoes, and they have some fun menu offerings. So one is called the Baby Blue Crab, like B-A-Y-B-E.
Horrible.
Yeah, so that's Chesapeake Blue Crab with free-range eggs, pickled carrots, and Old Bay. There's one that's called the Wakey Wakey Apple Bakey. It's with shredded apples, seasonal greens, and pastured bacon. And then there's a vegan Buddha hash that has crispy tofu in it and beets. So these all sound really good, hearty.
Every one of these openings has some health sort of catch to it. So, yeah, I mean, obviously it's just not slowing down. I love eating things in a bowl.
Yeah, like, me too. That's a great point.
I love everything sort of all together. I don't even care what it is.
Yeah.
But I think these bowls are, you know, they're great. They're also really portable. They're really pretty. They're really Instagrammable. And this other, like, the sort of like DIY kind of spirit lives on as well in a lot of these places, which is definitely lends itself to a bowl where you build your own.
I don't know.
Is this DIY? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think that they're like menu offerings that you kind of pick and they put it together
that
for
you.
But
right.
Definitely great for farmers markets. And I believe that there is a food truck in the works that is expected to hit the streets in the fall. So all the best to Stone's Throw Hash. And I also want to talk a little bit about, so this week I did a lot of reporting about the Wind Up Space closing. I don't know if you heard about this.
Only for you. Only you talking about reporting.
Right, exactly. So this was a huge hit to the arts community. And it was also such a great bar. You know, people went in to get drinks and just hang out in Station North all the time. So the owner, Russell DiCampo, announced earlier this week that it was closing. It was a huge shock to a lot of people. In my reporting, I talked to Wendell Patrick, who is one of the co-founders of the Baltimore Boom Bap Society, and he was saying that they played a show there just last weekend, and they had no idea that it was going to be their last show. So, you know, I think a lot of people got really emotional about it. You know, this is a place that has been around for 11 years. It's an inclusive art space, which is something that, you know, we don't really have a lot of in Baltimore. So, you know, every kind of genre of work from, you know, gallery showcases to comedy shows to local bands to Twin Peaks viewing parties and, you know, Blacklight Ping Pong, all of this different programming that people just really came to know and love. And it was awesome. I talked to Wendell from the Boom Bap Society and Easy Jackson of Soul Cannon and another performer named Derek Von Brown, who performs with the Baltimore Rock Opera Society. And, you know, it's always great for me to write about the arts. I think it's awesome to be able to explore that community and learn more about it. But I thought what was really kind of interesting was the parallels that the arts community, you know, has to the food community when we lose a restaurant.
Yes.
I think that that's kind of interesting. You know, these sacred spaces are so important to us as locals, you know, whether it's a restaurant or a gallery space or, you know, a venue of some kind.
I was going to say, it sounds distinctly Baltimore. You know, we're Smalltimore. We're a small town, but actually a big city with, you know, with this really vibrant art scene. It sounded like it was just a home away from home for these artists, where their work felt valued, you know, were a place where they could go and feel valued. And so it really hits people hard when these places close that quickly. You know, it sounds like 11 years is a really long time. And we don't move on easily.
You
know, we love our own, and we root for our own businesses, and we try to support our own businesses. So it's just sad. But it's also a happy thing in a way that we care so much. As Baltimoreans. So.
Yeah.
Any word on what's going in the space?
Not yet. But, you know, all I can say is that a lot of these people that were so close to it are really hoping that whoever takes it over can kind of carry on that legacy and continue to make it inclusive. You know, and I know it's something that we kind of have always done here at the magazine, is make it a point to really tell these stories of people and gather reactions. You know, a story that comes to mind is the one you did about Parts and Labor when it closed.
People were really bummed.
Do you remember the reactions, like, on social media? And I remember people were really upset about that closure.
First, people, I think, were just really shocked because, you know, Spike Jurdy, who won the James Beard Award, and people love his restaurants, especially Artifact, Woodbury Kitchen, Sandlot. I know I'm missing of the Bird in Hand.
Yes.
They love those places.
Yes.
And so, you know, any restaurant owner, eventually you open up enough places and you're not always going to have a hit on your hands. And for many reasons, they just couldn't make that whole animal butchery concept work. So I think people were just surprised that the restaurant was closing to begin with, that it just couldn't make it. And then people just loved, they loved the, even more than the restaurant, they loved the butcher shop where you could just go and, you know, get sausages or a cut of meat and, you know, go home and throw it on the grill yourself. And people were genuinely sad because there really wasn't anything else quite like it. Although John Brown, which I visited this weekend for another story I'm working on, I would say is actually coming pretty close to it. Now they have sandwiches. They're open for lunch and brunch service, actually.
That's excellent.
But yeah, Parts and Labor was a special place. We put them on the cover when they opened. I thought enough of the place to put them on the cover. I thought they were going to be, had some staying power. I think they were, I'm not sure exactly how long, maybe 5 years, I want to say.
Yeah, it was brief.
But people were sad. People still mourn the loss. Something else was moving into that space, isn't it?
Eventually. Yeah. Yep. More on that to come for sure. But yeah, so I think that there's definitely parallels. And like you said, it just goes to show how Baltimoreans really, you know, we honor these spaces and we miss them so much when they're gone. So yeah, so but in lighter news, we can talk about our best bites. I know you have some great ones to talk about.
Yeah, I've been eating out a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to hear the whole sordid tale.
And Jane, what I love about you too is that, you know, you prepare so much before you go out to eat, and you kind of craft this experience and make sure that you're going to have such a great experience when you go out?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this because this week I think, you know, I went to Flamont a couple of times. I'm writing about them for the magazine. But, you know, when I go on my own time and my own dime, I definitely have some places. You know, I like going to as many different places as I can, but I also have some places that I habitually go to. So there's Sushi Ya, which I've talked about, that's in my neighborhood.
Yes, you talk about this
not far from Reisterstown Road. My son's visiting, and so Sunday night we went there. I can't remember if this was the Saturday that I went to Orto or not.
Yeah.
I think I went to Orto this week, and it's continuing to just really draw people in. They now have people eating. They have tables out on the sidewalk, so people are now just sort of spilling out onto Charles Street, which is great because Tapas Teatro is there and Pen and Quill, and it's just sort of all one.
It's beautiful.
It's like a giant outdoor cafe on that block. It just feels really good. This was my third visit to Orto, and it has just been absolutely excellent each time.
Wow.
I had octopus and pasta this time. And where else did I go? Last night I went to Dylan's.
Yes.
And had a bunch of things. I had Cotties. I had a burger. I shared all of this.
The green chili burger?
The green chili burger is the best. But they also have some seasonally influenced things. And they had this focaccia bread with house-made ricotta and ramps. Grilled,
oh my gosh.
Charred ramps. And it was incredible.
That sounds phenomenal.
Even though it's mostly a seafood place. And then there's my kind of find in a way this week is I was driving down Falls Road coming from John Brown, and I saw a smoker on the side of the road, and smoke was sort of billowing across Falls Road, and my windows were down because it was, you know, one of the nice days this week. And I noticed that there were a lot of cars, and it turns out that it's a restaurant. It's called Jake's Grill.
Ooh.
And I don't even know if there's a sign, honestly.
I have never heard of it.
You go in, it looks like a house on the side of the road, and it's just one big room. It's kind of like a mess hall kind of a feel.
Okay, okay.
There's a giant TV, a bunch of people eating pit beef and ribs while they watch TV. Kind of,
okay,
yes.
Okay.
Very informal.
Wow.
But they also do a lot of carry out. So I just got a quart of the smoked chicken to go.
Ooh.
And then a quart of the beef. And they have all the toppings. They have fresh horseradish that was just fabulous. And really amazing homemade barbecue sauce.
That sounds so good.
And then they give you the rolls to go. And it was just, I would say that was my real best bite of the week. It was really, really stellar and just such a fine, really inexpensive. It's sort of a joint, this place.
Yes.
You know?
And I love when you discover places like that.
Everyone
too.
Should go.
Yes.
Yeah. Jake's Grill, Falls Road.
I'm
going
to have to go. I'm so excited just hearing you talk about it. I'm like,
yeah. It's
dying.
Fun. It feels like a place where they should have bingo. You know, they should have bingo.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder if they do.
It almost feels like a crab house, honestly. That
okay.
kind of old fashioned, old school environment.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. It sounds like a perfect summer spot too.
Yeah.
Wow. I have to get there.
So how about you?
I had a really beautiful brunch at Gunther this past weekend, Gunther & Co. in Brewers Hill. It was lovely. They have these kind of prime tables right in front of the kitchen, the open
booths.
Kitchen. Yes, those booths that are really nice. And we were so lucky to be seated there. And we had a lot of great things. It's hard to pick a best bite, but they have this really lovely pastry basket that they do as a starter that has the lemon ricotta donuts.
That would be an ender for me.
I know. Yeah. There were some sweet treats in there too.
Yeah.
And they make their own buttermilk biscuits, and they have, there's a glazed banana pound cake in there that was very good. And we got a couple things for the table. So they have this powerhouse toast. This is basically like avocado toast, but it's on this very thick rye bread. That was really, really good with a poached egg on top. And they have a Benedict with prosciutto on the buttermilk biscuits.
Mm.
So good. And then another friend of mine got, they have a brioche French toast with citrus curd. And it has a blueberry poppy seed maple syrup. Very sweet.
Excellent.
Very
yeah,
sweet.
A little sweet.
But very, very good. I really thought it was lovely.
Yeah.
I love Gunther.
Gunther's, it's a beautiful space. And what impresses me about Gunther is that, it's chef-owned. And the chef is always there, Jerry Trice.
He's always there. Yeah. He was there on Saturday.
And his wife, Nancy.
She's the best.
Mortola, I think is her last name. And she's, you know, she's front of the house. He's back at the house. But they're both always there.
They're a great team.
Yeah, they really are. And some, you know, some chef-owned restaurants, the chef has opened a bunch of places. You don't always see the chef. They have an open kitchen there, so you really always see him cooking.
Yeah.
Last time I was there, I was writing about knives, actually, knife skills.
Right, that was a great piece.
Yeah, he taught me that the key to to using a knife is having a sharp one. Which made me realize why. He said, you know, if you're cutting an onion and you cry, it's because your knife isn't sharp, because you're bruising the onion as you slice it.
That is fascinating.
So sure enough, my husband's really into knives. I should probably be worried, but he loves Japanese knives. And he bought a new Japanese knife last year that I hadn't used. And I went home and I cut an onion. He was exactly right. I didn't cry.
It's oh my gosh.
Unbelievable. Because usually I'm like sobbing into the food. I wear swim goggles when I cut onions.
Wait, that's hilarious.
Yeah, I do.
That's a good life hack.
Yeah, it is, but it doesn't always work. You know, that it just gets right up your nose and into your eyes. And I'm inevitably wearing mascara. And my husband comes home, there's like mascara down my face. And it's just like a whole commitment to cutting an onion. And this was life changing for me. Like, just sharpen your knife on a stone or, or on a knife sharpener. And you actually won't cry when you cut an onion.
That's amazing. I'm going to tell everyone I know. I feel like Jerry hit the nail on the head with that one for sure.
But anyway, Gunther is great.
Yes. It was a great week. We got some good weather this week, so seems like lots of great things. Yeah, my birthday.
Cheers. Oh, I can't wait to hear what beer you drink.
I know. Yeah, maybe I'll get a flight. Who knows? It's my birthday. We'll figure it out.
Well, guess who's going out for dinner tonight in Hampton? I'll stop by and say hi.
So exciting. So exciting. Well, thank you so much, Jane. It's always so great chatting with you. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. And this is the last week to pick up our May issue on newsstands before our June issue hits stands. And you can check out our food coverage every day at BaltimoreMagazine.com.
The Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.